You're listening to the Thriving in Chaos Project with Paulette Rigo, mediator, divorce coach, author, and founder of Better Divorce Academy. She invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. The podcast was inspired by our courageous journeys, connecting with others, having meaningful conversations, and impact through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette is joined by some of the most compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Prepare through the toughest chapters, reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly. Leave feeling empowered to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. It's time to thrive in the chaos. Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I am Paulette Rigo, your host. I created this podcast almost 4 years ago because I know that when you have inspiration and empowerment and knowledge, it allows you to make better decisions. It allows you to have the confidence and strength and resiliency that you need to persevere through all things divorce. I am the founder of Better Divorce Academy and author of Better Divorce Blueprint. That little book right there. And today I have an amazing guest. Her name is Laura Cheadle. She is an attorney. Gotta love attorneys. Some of my best friends are attorneys, a TEDx speaker, and a betrayal recovery coach. And isn't that an appropriate skill that we all need to get through that? But Laura helps women overcome the devastation of betrayal and confidently engage in life again. After being shattered by her husband's 15 years of infidelity, well, join the club, ladies, she uses her experience to help others reclaim their identity, self-worth, agency, and enthusiasm for life after betrayal, whether that betrayal is from their body, life, or someone that they love. Laura is also the creator of Life Choreography Betrayal Recovery Process, and as a dancer and choreographer. I love that. And leads both Flaunt and Step Into Your Moxie workshops and training that helps participants reclaim their identity, own self-worth, and speak up for what they want. Welcome to the podcast, Laura. Such an honor to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you. I love what you do. I'm sorry you had to go through what you went through. But you know, we all have a story. And anyone who thinks that someone doesn't is just mistaken. So, you know, all of our stories are going to be different. We have to embrace them, take responsibility for them, own them, and then say, what's the lesson? And being able to take your story and make it something healing is part of that journey. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate your vulnerability, right? It takes a little bit of courage and vulnerability to just get up here and say, so here's my story, people. So walk us through why you do what you do and how you got where you are. It's fascinating. And by the way, I love a boa and the leather shawl blanket that she has behind you. So if you're listening to the audio, just get a visual of that. It's like a teal kind of feather boa draped on her chair. And she's got this leopard blanket on the other side. And she's absolutely gorgeous. So if you're watching the video, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're on audio, just wanted to catch you up. So start at the beginning. How'd you get here? I want to hear your story. I'm fascinated.
Oh, I love, thank you. And I love what you said about, we all have stories and we all don't tell them or oftentimes we don't tell them. Yeah. I thought I had a really great marriage. I did have a really great marriage. My husband and I met the first day of law school. You know, there were sparks. We had so much in common. It was amazing. We had two kids, a great house, everything was really wonderful. Of course, we had the normal ups and downs, and I didn't think too much about it. We'd have a fight, he'd be mad, I'd be, whatever, you go through tough times, right? It's not a big deal. Yeah. So right before my youngest was graduating from high school, and we're going to be empty nesters, I can travel with him, this is going to be amazing, the house of cards starts crumbling. Mm. I find out over maybe 6 months' time that not only has he had one affair, he has had 5 affairs over 15 years. And it made no sense to me. It hurt, obviously, my heart. I was completely heartbroken. My ego, what have I done wrong? But it completely took away my past, because I would think, these past 15 years, what was real? Like, what was real? And I kept thinking about that Jim Carrey movie where he was like living on a movie set. He didn't realize it. That's how I felt. My whole life wasn't what I thought it was. My whole marriage, what was true with the kids? And it completely devastated me. In addition, what made it so challenging was, we don't talk about infidelity. We don't talk about betrayal. We have this like Hollywood vision that women who get cheated on are old, ugly, fat, stupid, don't have good sex, aren't good partners. Like, there is such a stigma around being the betrayed partner. And I wasn't any of those. And I didn't understand. And I didn't know how to talk about it. There was no language for it. There was no commonality. As I started healing and understanding and going through the process, my eyes were opened to so many things that were like wrong in our society and misunderstood about infidelity and betrayal. Mm-hmm. It's actually really common. It's hard to get accurate numbers because people don't want to admit that they have cheated on their partner. Correct. But some studies, go as high as 80%. Infidelity and betrayal is very common. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong or good or bad. It's just common.
It is what it is, right?
It is what it is. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. It was a choice that my partner made, and I was the victim of it, which then brought me into a whole other tailspin. I was victimized. Mm-hmm. I was victimized by this, but I don't have to be a victim. And I had this moment as I was learning all of this and processing all of this, where I thought, oh my gosh, I know so many bitter old ladies. I know so many like man haters, and their whole life has been ruined by their man. And it was like, oh, that's not me. That's not me. The worst thing happened to me, and that is not going to be me. And what am I going to do to shift that narrative? Mm-hmm. And that's where I really started delving in and doing a lot of the work and getting curious. And long story short, it's taken many years, but my husband and I actually have ended up reconciling because he did his work. I did my work. We did our work. And then I was a coach working with women around like not putting themselves first, always being the giver in the relationship. Hello, that was me too. And that's where I started doing this betrayal recovery work, marrying my work with women who are over-functioning with what I went through, with what my husband went through, with what we did together, with my past experience doing divorce work as an attorney. Mm-hmm. And it's very serendipitous in a way that all of those things were able to be brought together. But that's the background and how I got where I'm at and why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I went through it. I get it. And I can honestly say that I am happier now. I am healthier now. I have a better marriage now than I ever had before. And whatever kind of chaos you're going through, whether it's just a divorce, whether it's a ridiculously contentious divorce, whether it's betrayal, whatever kind of chaos you're facing, on the other side is something better, if that's what you choose and if that's what you work for. And if you don't, you can be that bitter old lady. That's totally up to you too, but you don't have to be.
Right. It is a choice and not an easy choice. Just because you're proclaiming that it is possible doesn't mean that it's easy to get there, right? So
no.
Right. There is a lot of work, as you mentioned, that needs to be done. This isn't a snap your fingers, sprinkle pixie dust, and just boom, it's all gonna, you know, like what was that Bewitched where she wiggled her nose, or you know, it's like doesn't work that way, right? If you're not old enough to know what the heck that means, just Google Bewitched, and you'll find it interesting. But back in the days when things just, you know, fell from the sky. It does take a lot of work, and you took something that you went through. So I'm really curious about the reconciling. Does that mean that you're remarried or you're friends?
Married. We are married.
Well, I love to hear that. Okay. All right. So because, you know, reconciling has many definitions. So
it does.
I did want to clarify that. We didn't want to assume that you were just friends, and which is nothing wrong with that, anyone. No. So, you know, doesn't mean you need to remarry your ex-husband. So Elizabeth Taylor's done it, and obviously Laura has. So.
Multiple times.
Right. That's very, very common. So, but with that said, you know, you are an author. And also a speaker. So that's a commitment and a decision that you made to publicly share your story. So let's talk a little bit about your book, Flaunt, Drop Your Cover and Reveal Your Smart, Sexy, and Spiritual Self. First of all, I love the title. And as I understand, Flaunt is an acronym for Find Your Sparkle. Or what is it an acronym for?
It is an acronym. It's an acronym for the 5-step process of helping you move through betrayal, whether it is an actual betrayal or whether you just feel betrayed by your marriage falling apart, because that's a very real thing too. Even if there's not infidelity, we all have this fairy tale notion in our head that this is how our life should work out. And then when it doesn't work out, we feel betrayed.
And that's a really good point. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's good.
Betrayal isn't always fidelity, correct, by the way. So it doesn't always have to be. And there's other ways of looking at fidelity. You know, I mean, infidelity, there's sexual infidelity, but it basically means anytime that there's secrecy, where you're kind of living a double life and there's a part of you that you're not sharing with your partner, right? So you meet and you fall in love and everything's congruent. And well, it doesn't always go like this. Where everything's congruent. It's like a seesaw, like a balance beam, right? Or a seesaw. And then sometimes one partner's tired or doesn't give as much. If you're not watching the video, you don't know what I'm doing with my hands, but I've got like my two little hands, like little coffee tables, like levers here. And then, this person notices like, they're giving less and they have a choice. They can either come to and lift them up and elevate them, or they can say, and push them down. And it's this sense of like, give and take, give and take, give and take. But anytime there's secrecy in a relationship where your partner is not going to you first for that exciting news, but they call somebody else, you feel betrayed. Like, why didn't you call me first? Why didn't you share that with me? And if there's another partner and that certainly takes over, that's a whole nother layer of physical sexual infidelity. But it really starts of that sense of like not feeling like you're in a congruent partnership, even sharing the tax returns or not sharing that you got a bonus or, you know, that you had a weekend planned with your friends and you, by the way, I'm going away this weekend with my friends. You're like, what? Where you're not sharing your life, right? So with that said, I'm glad you brought that up, that it isn't always an affair. It can be, and usually would be, but it doesn't have to be. So what made you write the book and share with us a little bit of the story or the message behind the book? Because I really find it important.
Yes, it is important. Thank you. And I love that you mentioned that you were a dancer, because what I do in the book is I use the analogy of burlesque dancing, because burlesque dancing is stripping away the different layers to get at what is really underneath. And that is so true, like what we do. Okay, what does a perfect mom do? She does this. What does a perfect wife do? She does that. How am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to engage in this relationship? Throughout life and throughout our marriages, we start putting on these different layers and we start hiding who we really are. And we have to strip down and show ourselves authentically as we are to our partners in order to really have a true, authentic, vulnerable relationship. what the book is really focused on is stripping down for ourselves, because too often we get trapped in seeking to please others, trying to conform to somebody else's expectations, or performing. This is what a perfect dinner party at my house looks like. This is what the perfect PTA mom does. And then we lose track of who we are and what we want. And then we wake up one day, 30 years down the road, and we say, whose life is this anyway? Whose marriage is this anyway? This isn't what I wanted. And that's what the steps of flaunt really help you do, is strip down and get to the essence of who you are and what you want. And like you said earlier, it's work and it's scary, but it's also thrilling, because all of a sudden you start seeing, oh, this is who I am and this is what I want. And it's interesting because I wrote the book, and I will go into the five steps. I don't want to leave listeners hanging, but I wrote the book before I found out about my husband's infidelity. I wrote it, based on my pain in a way, the way that I felt frustrated by life, all of these things I had felt let down, you know, let down by life, let down my career, let down, I'm trying so hard, why does nobody see me? I'm trying so hard, why doesn't it work out for me? And then all of a sudden, when I learned about the betrayal, it was like, oh my gosh, it's been betrayal the whole time. I betrayed myself in my marriage. I betrayed myself in my career. I have been betraying myself all along. And it kind of took this huge betrayal in my marriage to get me to see all the ways I was betrayed by the patriarchy. I was betrayed by, and it brought it full circle. And I thought, this is kind of spectacular that I have these five steps that help women move through betrayal. And I wrote these five steps that help women move through betrayal. And now I am confronted with a big betrayal, and I get to be my whole test subject here and see how it works.
How incredible that you wrote it though, before the revelation. That is truly, I wouldn't call it a coincidence, quite karmic if nothing else, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So walk us through what those steps are, because I know that there are many people that will benefit from this because, well, whatever layer, we've all had levels of betrayal in life and things that you just felt like you were disregarded and ignored and alienated and really, truly hurt. So help us, teach us, what are they?
Absolutely. F stands for find your fetish. And fetish is just such a naughty word, but it's a fun word, because if you think about the Disney movie Dumbo, he needed his feather to fly. He didn't really need the feather to fly, but he thought he needed the feather to fly. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the original definition of the word fetish, it was like that, an amulet, that thing that we thought we needed for power. Mm-hmm. It can be a cross. You know, it can be a statue of a saint. It is that thing that represents power to us. And finding your fetish, that's what that's about. What is that thing that you need to believe in yourself? Because too often we don't just say, I am a worthy, amazing woman. We think, well, if somebody asks me out, I'm worthy and amazing. If somebody gives me a promotion, I'm worthy and amazing. If somebody tells me I look nice, I'm worthy and amazing. Finding your fetish is about finding that thing for you. So you can start validating yourself. So you can start believing in your own power. Mm-hmm. And that's what finding your fetish is all about.
I love it. Wonderful. I'm trying to think what mine are. I think I have a lot. Can you have more than one?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Oh, good. I feel better now. Okay.
Yeah. And it's also about, you know, finding your fetish in every sense of the word. Like you mentioned dancing. I grew up as a dancer. I still find such joy in dancing. You know, the release of even just putting on a song, dance is a fetish for me. It makes me feel better every single time. I can just click something on my playlist and woo, rock out, and I feel better.
Yeah, there was a video I saw somewhere. It was back in 2012, which seems like, you know, not that long ago, but you're like, wow. And there's this guy's videotaping this. He's a journalist. So obviously it's a piece he put together, but there's this guy just dancing down the street and Fifth Avenue in New York City. And he doesn't, I don't even know if he has headphones on, just before the little white things were invented. Right. And he's like videotapes him. And then he goes back and he says, I don't quite know if I like this or I don't like this, but I think I found something that combines the three things I like. Now, see if I can remember the three things: music, dancing, and interacting with other people. So he joins them and they just start dancing together. And, you know, and then he says, I think it's like my new form of exercise. And for the next 3 minutes, he just does all these vignettes of him all over the, you know, just in every scenario, he just breaks out into dance in the grocery store and breaks out into dance at banks and, you know, the most inappropriate places. And it's absolutely hysterical. But it is so true. You know, you got to find that thing that brings you joy. And what is it that makes you happy? You know, if it's the word fetish, I love it. So, and we all need our feather. So
we do, we do. Yeah. And that kind of leads into the next step, which is the L in flaunt. And that stands for laugh out loud. Mm. Laughter physiologically helps us. Emotionally, it helps us. It's a cathartic release. And especially when we're in chaos, where it's so easy to just like fixate, I'm in chaos and this is awful and I have so much to do and it's so hard and it's all this work. Yes, it is hard. Yes, you're in chaos. Can you laugh about something too? Mm-hmm. Because it will give you a fresh start. Right. Your headache will go away. Your heartache will at least lighten. Your face is going to look better too. Just look in the mirror when you're smiling and laughing and look in the mirror when you're crying. You look better. You feel better. Laugh. It doesn't matter if you're just like finding crazy little, you know, pictures on TikTok or Instagram, or if you're watching a funny movie, give yourself as a present to yourself that gift of laughter. It will open up your aperture. Your perspective will be different and you will make better decisions. And you will at least enjoy some moments in the process. It's not like love every moment while you're struggling through a divorce. It's not that. But it's, here's your moment of chaos. Can you have some pleasurable times in there? Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I also believe that biologically, when you laugh or giggle or smile, I mean, it doesn't have to be just 20 minutes of going to a comedy, you know, show type of laughter. Although I suggest that too. And drag shows are actually very fun too. We're thinking about choreography and laughing. They're just really entertaining, right? But oxytocin, right, becomes released and your adrenal system calms down. It stops the cortisol response. And all of a sudden your parasympathetic nervous system is enlightened and your sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight one, kind of goes, So laughter is good medicine, they say, but it's biological, not just because it makes you look cute. So yeah,
exactly. Exactly. But there's nothing wrong with looking cute either. And then AU, I like to say, is the golden center of flaunt. And that stands for accept unconditionally, which is so hard to do because we love to be up in our heads. If I would have said this, he would have done that. And if she would have said this, I would have done that. And if I would have just worn that, and then if I would have done this, and I know if I call my lawyer and they do this, and then if we play all of these games in our head and we have all these conversations in our head. And you know what? Once we drop all that and we accept unconditionally, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. This is who he or she is. This is where they're at. We can start actually making some real decisions and moving forward instead of staying all wadded up.
Yeah, living in the past with what I call woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, all that guilt and regret and blame and unconditionally accepting things is very powerful and important in all realms of life, but particularly in divorce. It can be you know, trying to change your spouse. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that people make in divorce is that they are still trying to hope that their partner's gonna be someone different, you know, and it's a little tricky. And this is why it can also get expensive and long and contentious when you're hoping and wishing for something that isn't realistic. So,
Yeah. And I love that you said that because you're right. So many people want to change their partner, and confronted with the reality, something that I say a lot to people, if they never change, then what? And people go, there's a decision you're going to have to make. And I'm not saying you have to make it today, but let's accept unconditionally that that person probably isn't going to change, and start exploring then what is the next step in that scenario. And that goes right into the N of FLAUNT, which stands for navigate the negative. So one of the examples that I like to give is if you're driving home from work and there's an accident, you will probably get rerouted. There might be a detour. If on the detour, there's an earthquake and the bridge falls out, there might be another detour. You might have to backtrack. If there's a big storm and your windshield wipers don't work, you might have to go really slow, or you might have to pull over to store and get new wiper blades, but you will get home that night. It defies belief to think that you would get out of your car and say, oh, I just couldn't make it home, I'm done, and like spend the rest of your life under a bridge. You wouldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, but when we're navigating a divorce or a relationship or deciding, we tend to get locked in that all or nothing thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm in or I'm out. It's X or it's Y.
Yeah.
Navigate. How can you navigate? Where might you detour? What might you backtrack through? What might go slower? What? Navigate. It's not black or white. Just navigate. You'll get
it. It sounds a lot like the process of mediation too, where that sense of, you know, being fluid and malleable and being not rigid in your thinking, but understanding that maybe this isn't going to work, but maybe this will, and you will find your way out of that hole. And no, you're not going to crawl up, go into the fetal position on the side of the road because it rained. You know, you're going to be able to cope with it by being malleable and flexible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And also a key part of that navigation is knowing where you're going. And, you know, that's that flaunt. Strip down and know yourself. Because if you don't know who you are and what you really want, what are you navigating for? Where are you going? That's a tough one.
And I do find that that's really common, Laura, with people that struggle with healing from betrayal or any trauma, where they truly don't know what makes them tick, and knowing thyself to understand what their values are, their goals are, their aspirations and dreams. Many times I'll ask them, well, have you thought about, or, you know, whatever I'm thinking, and they're like, no. Whether they want to change their name or where they want to live or what they want to do or all their hopes and dreams and aspirations. And it's like, well, let's figure it out. And it's exciting to me. And sometimes to other people, it can be very intimidating. So, and it takes a little time. You don't just jump in the pool naked without knowing how to swim. You know, it does take that time. So I think that's an important stage is really navigating the negative, but also knowing truly, where am I going? What's important to me?
Yes. Yes. And part of that is why I started with F, you know, the find your fetish. When you're navigating, it's so important to trust. And that's my last step is T, but to trust in how you're feeling and what feels good to you, and breaking out of, you know, I was raised to do this, or my society expects this of me, or my family thinks, and to really tune into as you're navigating and finding your fetish, what does feel good to me? I do. Oh my gosh. I do want to be strong and independent, or, you know, no, I am a really good partner, and partnering is an important thing to me. Relationships are important. What makes you happy versus what might have been expected of you from your family, your society, and the scripts we get in our heads? Because, you know, as a little girl, I read Gone with the Wind, and I have all these romantic notions and fairy tales, and this is how my life is going to be. And life is complicated.
Yeah. I can relate in so many ways. I was expected to be a ballerina, and I had zero interest in being one. Did I love dancing? And, you know, sure, it wasn't all, you know, bad, but it wasn't me. It wasn't what I wanted to do. It was really what was expected of me. And we get into trouble when we live a life that others expect of you and not one that is in fact true to yourself. It can really lead you down a path of misery. So wise advice, my dear. So now for somebody who's really just got the shock and awe, or came to the revelation of, wow, this has been a betrayal, and of course, both of us, you know, you being an attorney too, and also working in corporate, and me working in corporate divorce and mediation consulting, we see that the corporate environment also can lead to one of feeling alienated and betrayed. So for somebody who maybe just came to this revelation, either in their romantic life, their familial life, or their work life, that there really has been something that is more in alignment than not just a disappointment, which, by the way, is part of life, everyone. Like, not everything is, you know, what do they say, a bed of roses, right? But when it really gets to that point of, wow, this is more than I ever bargained for, what advice would you give them if you just had to give them one gem?
That's tough because I have two gems, but
okay. Two is good.
The first gem is to just breathe and just sit with it. We all want to jump into action right away. Don't jump into action right away. Just breathe for a little bit. You've got time. Now, the real gem, though, is to really start understanding and separating. You may have been victimized. You probably were victimized, and that's okay, but you do not have to be a victim. Things do happen to you, but you don't have to stay in that one down position of I was victimized. You were, and we'll process that through time, which is that first gem. But being a victim is a choice. You get to choose where you go from here. You do have choice, because when we're victimized, what goes is our sense of agency, our sense of choice. You have control over you, always.
Yeah. You have a situation, but you aren't the situation, right? This sense of here's the situation, but I'm not it. It's a part of what I've been experiencing, but I'm not it, right? Yeah. Being able to witness it and not jump into it and attach yourself to it. Yeah. Well, I am so glad you shared your work. So she again is an attorney practicing still.
Correct? I am not practicing right now.
Okay. Well, I totally understand why. It's one of the most stressful careers there are. But is a TEDx speaker and a betrayal recovery coach. So please look into her book, Flaunt, Drop Your Cover, and Reveal Your Smart, Sexy, and Spiritual Self. And she also is the creator of Life Choreography, Betrayal Recovery Process, and leads both Flaunt and Step Into Your Moxie workshops. So how do people learn about you, find you, follow you, and dare I say, connect with you and share your genius?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first way is to go to betrayalrecoveryguide.com. When you go to betrayalrecoveryguide.com, you can download your copy of my betrayal recovery guide. And that will also give you, you know, my main website and all of my social media contact. I am on all social media, Laura Cheadle, and it's L-O-R-A.
Correct. Yes. L-O-R-A-C-H-E-A-D-L-E. And as she says, Cheadle like needle, you won't forget it. So thank you, Laura, for your time, your expertise, sharing your vulnerability and your story. Once we feel that we're not alone and we're not broken, discarded, there's no, you know, nothing wrong with us, we're not crazy. And as you said, if you have been the person who has had a betrayal in your life, predominantly with infidelity in your case, you know, you don't have to be the 120-year-old that's 200 pounds overweight, which that's perfect. We're not being, you know, judgmental here, right? But that stereotype that we have in our head of like, but I must be too old, or I'm not attractive enough, or I'm not smart enough, or like that long list of people that we think like that you're a total failure for your husband or wife to have not been faithful to you. There are many reasons why people have that happen. And with that said, you know, it's not a reflection of who you are.
Nope. It's not at all. Nothing you did. Infidelity, choosing to cheat on somebody is a choice. And it's the person who cheats that makes the choice, not you. Yeah.
Very true. So thank you again for your time. We have to thrive in the chaos. Well, you don't have to. You can curl into a little ball on the side of the road, right? And not get new windshield wipers. But we don't want you to do that. We want you to thrive and persevere and really feel inspired and empowered to live your very best life. So from Paulette and Better Divorce Academy and all of those listeners on the Thriving in Chaos Project, we thank you, Laura, for your time. And keep thriving, everybody. It's not an option. Think you may be the next guest on the Thriving in Chaos Project podcast? Reach out to Paulette. Email her at paulette@betterdivorceacademy.com. And no matter what, keep thriving in the chaos.